fact. If they ask me to speak on a subject that I don't know how good I'm going to do on the subject, but I should be good at it, but that doesn't mean anything, does it? Because the subject is raising children in America. I've raised children in America. So, I have some credentials on the subject. I've been Boy Scout leader, more credentials on the subject. I've been a Cub Scout leader, more credentials. I've been, you know, a step-parent, a foster parent, and I have grandchildren as well. This should be good credentials. Alhamdulillah, I've been in this country. That's some credentials. And I've been a Christian and a Muslim and have some background there. That might be credentials. But I guess the best credentials I have of all is the fact that I studied this book right here in English, called the Quran, and then I studied it and am studying it in Arabic. And I think that's my best credential for raising your kids anywhere. But after that, I'd like to mention that the subject of raising children will always get a certain crowd of people. I mean, serious. Because you'll always have people who want to know, give me some tips, these things are making me crazy. But let's talk about that and see what should we do and how should we look at it. And look at some opinions that different people have. And that's how we'll begin. Alhamdulillah. So we'll get started right now. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed something amazing 1400 years ago. We still have it today, that is the Quran. And the Quran provides us with the solutions to the problem. He tells us in the Quran that he is the one and the only one that created all the heavens and the earth and the entire universe and everything in it and us. And he tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The meaning of this is that he only created us for worship. In that, it doesn't mean that the people, by the way, need to go sit in the masjid all the time and pray. I mean, that would really be pretty easy, wouldn't it? You'd get hungry after a while, by the way. But it does mean, though, that all the things that we do can be acts of worship. Everything that we do can be acts of worship. Even when a man goes to his wife for sex, it's an act of worship. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his companions that they would get rewards with Allah for going to their wives, one of them, all of them were amazed, but one of them was asking, but, you know, this is something I like to do. Well, yeah, of course you do. But the Prophet said, yes. Well, I'm getting rewards for this. And he said, yes, because what would it be if you went to a lady who's not your wife? Wouldn't that be a sin? So you're doing something that's correct, so you're getting rewards for it. And one of the Sahabi got up and left. And then he came back, and he was very happy, and he takes some rewards. And you understand the meaning. And I'm telling you that this is amazing, that Allah is encouraging us to do everything in the halal way. Everything in the halal way. Get married. Get married. So get married. And one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, he said, when the children are old enough to, you know, have babies, to get married, get them married. Get them married. And there's a beautiful example in Islam of that, is that the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was known as Aisha. When she was very young, her parents wanted to propose marriage of their daughter to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they brought her in from playing and talked to her about this subject. And then she went back out and played and continued playing. Now, from this indeed, some people took the age when she was 9 years old and said that, okay, she got married when she was 9. Yeah, how many of you thought that? But if she went back out and played, it means obviously she didn't get married, did she? She got married later when she was old enough to get married and have babies. And that's when they made the nikah or the contract. Then, and this is all her telling the story, by the way, then she tells us for the most beautiful, beautiful marriage to a very wonderful, the most wonderful person, which was her husband, which is our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad. She tells us that he used to play with her and have fun. And he used to run, and she used to run, and she used to beat him. But when they got older, then she got heavier, and he used to beat her in the running. She also described the gentle way that a man should go to his wife. Now, how would we know any of this if she didn't tell us? And how that the woman is supposed to also have a good, pleasurable feeling from the sex. And how would we know this if she didn't tell us? Because in the religion I grew up in, it was considered something bad when people had sex. Yes, it was considered shame. Something, oh my God, well, if you have to, go ahead. And that the woman should never draw any pleasure out of it. It's like, oh my God, you know. I'm talking about when I was a kid. If any of the good church-going people heard you say something about that a woman was very happy in her sex, oh my God, rip this person's tongue out. Don't let him speak again. Really? Because they can't imagine, this is, you know, this to them is the very sin that kicked Adam and Eve out of paradise. They said it's not really about eating fruit, it's about they had sex. I've heard that so many times. Anybody ever heard that before? It has nothing to do with it. What Allah said is, don't eat the fruit. It said it in the Quran, it said it in the Bible, there's no difference. Allah did not tell them, don't have sex. This is some weird connotation put there, probably by priests or monks who never got to have sex and thought it was filthy. I don't know. I'm guessing on that one. But from the very beginning, cheap shot, I don't know. But from the very beginning of the creation of the human being, it starts out with reward. And that's my point for beginning here. Because you don't raise children if you don't have any, and this is how you have them. Okay? So, and to benefit those who didn't know yet, now you know. That's where they come from. When I was a kid, we used to ask, where did children come from? And they told us the stork brought them. Did you see this bird, the stork has the long bill? It said his long bill is so he can hold that diaper that holds the kid in there, and he drops him down the chimney. I guess you have to come at the right time of year, otherwise you've got to get in line with Santa Claus. The queue becomes long there. We're falling down the chimney, I don't know. But anyway, I'm having fun, I'm sorry. Anyway. These stories, I don't know where I get this from. I'm just saying that, alhamdulillah. Another story they told us, they said, and I heard this one, they come, you get them in a cabbage patch under a cabbage. You just go out there and you find these babies or nothing. But why does somebody believe that? We talked about this in one of our other programs. We talked about how it is when children are taught about Santa Claus, and he comes down a chimney, and he has reindeer, and he has a magic sleigh, and he knows everything, and he hears everything, and so on. So we talked about the damage it does to these children when you tell them that. Now when they're asking where the children come from, you say, in a cabbage patch. What? Or a stork brings it down. What's that? I don't know if you heard any stories like this, because in Islam, it's not ever correct to lie, not even in a joke, to children, or to anybody. The Prophet, even when he told jokes, they didn't have lies in them. Do you know that? It was careful, because lying, even in a joke, damages your heart and damages the people around you. Because people will believe that, even for a second. It's not right. So, we don't take those kind of jokes. We tell people where the babies come from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes a mother to have a baby. And how it comes about will explain when you get older. That's how. Because it's only 2 or 3 years old, this might be enough. When they're older, you explain. They're a man and a woman, their private parts go into each other, and then they have a baby. That's easy. That's not a big thing. You're not going to go crazy. And if you said, I can't say that, okay, play this tape and let them hear it, okay? Now we know. That's it. It's as easy as that. And this is acceptable for us. We don't consider this as some big sin or something haram. Haram is if you did it with somebody you're not married to. This haram. This haram. This is big punishment in Islam. To have this special, wonderful thing, but not with the right person. Then it's not special, it's not wonderful, it's haram. So this is children in marriage. When they get older, get them married. And so when the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha, she was very young. But she told us many beautiful things about those few years that she was married to him before he ﷺ passed away. And those beautiful years, she accounts for in such a way nobody could make any mistake that she was the happiest person in the world. And I once said that if you would take these hadiths, these stories, that she's married, and those that knew her narrate about the relationship of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Aisha radiallahu anha, you'd be amazed. You'd be so amazed. Because he loved her more than anybody, except Khadija. Of course, Khadija was passed away already. But he loved Aisha so much. They said he couldn't help it. He tried to be fair with his wives and everything. He said, but God, I can't do it. He just loved Aisha so much. I said, to those who attack Islam and say horrible things about the Prophet, I said, listen, let's take the hadith, because that's all you know is from this. There isn't anything else. There's no other accurate record in the world about this except this hadith, and let's take them, because that's the only place you can know anything anyway. And remove the meaning, and remove the date, remove anything which will apply to the time thing, and then we'll present the information to any psychiatrist that you would like, any sociologist, psychologist, any social worker, or a counselor, marriage counselor, anybody who has credentials in any field like this, and let them read it, let them study it, and what will they tell you? In 100% of the cases, they will tell you, this is an amazing relationship, this is a wonderful marriage, and you wish you had such a relationship with a wife. Or husband. Yes or no? They never had children. She never got pregnant. Alhamdulillah, that he had another wife, couple wives. But none of his male children lived to be old enough to get married. None of them. But guess what? Even he's human just like you and I. When his son, the one young one, was dying, he went to him. And he was a young boy, you know, and he was holding him, and he died in his arms. And when the boy died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. If somebody asked him, you know, you're the Prophet of Islam, and you're crying, well, no, because, you know, you already know he's going to go to paradise, because this is the teaching of Islam. A beautiful teaching of Islam about children is that they are born on the future of Islam. They're already Muslim, but it's their parents that raised them up to be some other religion. So why? You're talking to the and he said, don't I have my grief? I have my time to be in grief just like anybody else. Because we have plans, and we have ideas, and then we find our plans are changed, and our ideas are cancelled by these things, events, or death. So if you have a child, and let's talk about that for a minute, because some of you have this happen. When a child dies, what do you do? In Islam, you have the answer. This is not an accident that child died. This is a plan that's a part of something that Allah gave you that's an amazing thing for you. You want to know how amazing it is when your child passes away? When a parent outlives a child in the Western civilization, that's considered one of the worst things that can ever happen. They always say that. For a parent to outlive a child is too grievous. But for Islam, no, it's not. Because when it happens, it means a number of things, not the least of which the mother who has children who die in their in their childhood, that if she's patient, this is judgment for her. When your children die like this, but you're patient, you don't get upset with the law. You plan, okay, you go to jail. So that's a pretty good guarantee, considering some of us, we don't really have that, you know what I'm saying, that guarantee from anything else we've done. But from this patient, Allah has taken away a lot of matria, a lot of sins, because of the patient's fear. Another thing, these children are asking Oh Allah, I want my parents in the Jannah with me. So they're asking, bring them. I need my mama, I need my daddy. Hey, I like this, don't you? Somebody is making intercession, and none can make intercession. Man baladi yashfu indhu yalidhu, didn't he? None of them is going to make any intercession except Allah gives permission. And he gives permission to these children to make this dua, to bring these parents to them. Even if the parent is in the hellfire, the children can take them out. Whoa! Hello! It became much better, didn't it? And don't forget, children don't go to hell. That's the good news, isn't it? If you raise the child up, you want them to go to paradise, didn't you? Okay, they want. What's the problem? So we go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And this one is not so big. We're going to be very sympathetic with this and help you. But still, we don't want you to go around with long face forever. Oh, my God, my God, my lady. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Get over it and move forward and understand this is the plan of Allah and it's something good. This is a remarkable year, believe it. This is the kind of test where you find out. We talked about, if you remember, how to check your iman the other day. How many of you remember that one? How to check the iman? Hang a picture on the wall? Okay, I think everybody even here online heard that one. When you put the nail up there and you start trying to bang it in with a big hammer and you miss the tack and you hit the thumbnail instead, the first word out of your mouth tells you if you're a believer or not. Okay, that's not good sign. But you said bang. Okay, good. So I might give you a test. You get your test. He says, your children, didn't he promise you that? Didn't he say it and said to Bakara, if this is one of the tests that you'll have to your children? Yeah. So this is one of the things about raising children. We need to tell them about that. Another thing is that as they grow up, remember something very important, that every day is important. Every day is an important day. Because you might think, on the weekend, I want to take the children somewhere. You ever done that? On the weekend, I want to spend some time with my kids. But then somebody tells you, listen, we've got a project. We need to help you. Your help on Saturday. Okay, I'll spend Sunday with them. All right? Okay? Then the next week, we need your help on Sunday. Okay, I'll spend Saturday with them. Right? But then somebody said we need you Saturday, and somebody else needs you Sunday. So, okay, next week, I'll spend time with them. You realize that within 1 or 2 years, you're going to look at those children and they're going to look taller to you. You're going to say, what happened? Anybody ever had that problem? Did you ever look at your children around you and you said all of a sudden, they look bigger? What happened? Or your son's voice has changed and you're going, how did this happen? Oh, wait a minute, I was just holding that kid in my arms the other day and he's looking at me. And wallahi, it happened to me the other day. It happened to me the other day. Now, of course, I have a better excuse than most. Because that when my son was young, his mother divorced and they left. Now, this is many years ago. So I saw him sporadically over periods of time. But the other day, he came to stay with us while my father was passing away, and he's still with us. Inshallah, he's still with us. And so, I'm talking about my son. And so, just before I left, I wasn't giving him a hard time going around. I like to put my arm around him and tell him honey and things like that. And he has a beard, you know, by the way. And I'm talking to him, and I said something to him about being my age. And he said to me something about his age, and I said, gosh, wait a minute, he's in his 20s now. You're like 20, what, 7? He said, how about 28? I said, that's not a baby. That's a man. This is a big man standing here. Hello, and he's bigger than I am anyway. I said, what am I doing? I'm thinking about him when he was small. He used to sit in my lap. I'd take him places that let him try to steal the car or something like this, you know. This is a huge man over here. I don't need to treat him like this. I need to give him a different kind of respect, you know. SubhanAllah, what am I doing? Because the same thing. Saturday, I'll catch you. Sunday, or next week, I'll get some time. A month from now, I'm going to take him. We're going to go over. You know what? Next summer, we'll take the kids to Disney World. That's it. That's it. Do you think those children are going to benefit from that? When they go to Disney World, they don't see you, they don't see Mickey Mouse. Your time with your children is every day. And it begins every morning with pleasure. Oh, but they have to go to school. Great. So, Well, you know, I got to let them sleep. Then they can go, you know, they can learn about praying later. Weekend school, they go to Muslim school, don't they? No, every morning, get up. Get up and pray with these children. That's your responsibility. It's not just pleasure, John. That's your responsibility. And then afterwards, sit and read some Quran with them. Just like I said earlier. That's a good time with your family. I did it with my kids, and they learned almost all of Juz'ama while we were in Texas. And no teacher. We're just all beginners, you know, trying to do something acrobatic. Come do that. So it's good because we're doing it on a daily basis. What's the next thing? Don't turn your children over to babysitters. Don't do that. You say, I don't. No way. I let them stay in the house with my wife, or if we're not there, they're old enough, you know, and there's no babysitter. You just turn on the TV and leave it on 24 hours a day. Okay, excuse me, go get a babysitter. I changed my mind because that's better than the TV. So you're going to say, oh, wait a minute, are you telling us TV is haram? Is TV haram? Anybody want to ask me that question? No, everybody here already knows the answer. They're going to say, no, don't ask him nothing. TV is not haram. As long as you don't plug it in. The people online are laughing too. They're saying, but yeah, it's true. It's true that TV has some problems. It has some serious problems. I was speaking with the doctor today after the program earlier, and he was telling me that actually, you know what we do? And he said some months ago, he said, I just made this thing out of here. Cut that thing off. Except for what? Videos. He said, videos which I can go get, scrutinize them myself. I know what my children are going to see before they see it. We can all sit together and enjoy it. Well, guess what? We've been doing that in my family for a number of years. When I come home, they say, Dad, we got a new video. We went to the library, we got some films, and we watched it. And we sit together and we see things like, was that crazy guy that likes to wrestle with alligators? You'd like to watch this guy? And we think he's very funny. From Australia, you know this one? It's very funny. The kids get a kick out of this. Man, you learn about animals, have some fun. And it's nothing wrong with that, inshallah. So things like this are very good. And you can be together. And we pop popcorn and we make it something. But we don't let it just run babbling on and on and on with all the garbage that comes off the TV. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You'll admit that one. But it's wonderful when you get away from that thing. It's really wonderful. One of the most amazing things that I saw in recent years when I was staying in Upper Egypt, I was in some places where that had electricity, but not all the time. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. When it's on, you can see it because some lights will be on in some places, even in the daytime. You hear fans going, you know. But then other times it's not on, fans aren't going, people just move out under a tree or something like that. No problem, you know. But what's nice is that when you go down the street, people know you're there. You don't need to have security guards, armed policemen, and all the rest of it to watch your place, because people are in the street watching everything, you know. Where's the crook going to go? Everybody's seeing everybody, because they're not hanging out inside the house, but they're in any air conditioning, and there's no TV to watch. These people are living every day, and they're with their neighbors, they're with their family, and it's an amazing thing. Anybody ever been up there? Amen? Yeah. All right, you know. Well, how about if you've been to any place like this? If you've been someplace like this, they have it in Pakistan. It's very nice. It's amazing because you feel the spirit of what it should be like to be with real human beings in a real setting, especially when they follow Islam. And then when you hear the Adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and you say, wow, this is amazing. Let's go. Let's go be together. And everybody gather together and pray and go back about your business, and it's nice. And a few hours later, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, let's go again, you know, come on. And people are, at the masjid, it becomes a focal point, and they're talking about, oh, we're going to have some friends over. You want to come? Yeah, why not? So they have a party, and of course I was there, and that's, oh, they were saying, we got this American white guy over here, it's kind of interesting, you know. Let's have some fun, and then that we would have stomach for my stomach, and things like that. We had a great time, and it was so, you know, amazing. It was really amazing. When I left, and then I went back to the States, I began to miss that rural village. And I said, oh my God, how in those few weeks of time that I was there could that grow on me so much that I still remember everything? I even remember the donkey, the himar that went there. I remember the, you know, the children, the way they used to run up and down the street and things they used to sing and do things. I said, oh, I miss it. Anybody here in Egypt, you know what it says on all the buildings? Bismillah, mashallah. And I got to thinking about that. I said, you know, this is the environment for the children. But you can't do that here in the West. And you're telling me, Yusuf, what do you want me to do? I can't go back over there. How am I going to support my family? How can I do what I do? Even my government's not going to be so thrilled with me showing up with a beard. And I can't go in and pray like I can do here. What do you want me to do? Well, it isn't easy. But you can try your best to make some environment for them, and you're here in one place right now. And this is your masjid. It's a big masjid. Did you ever think about how big this masjid is? In fact, in 5 years, it seems like the biggest. You know what I meant, Dickens. So start filling it up, it's Fajr. Bring your children, it's Fajr. Try it! And then if you have a few minutes afterwards, let them read some Quran. Recite what they know. Let them feel like somebody. Another point is, when raising these children, don't be harsh on them. Be easy on them. Take it easy. Remember, when you get old, that's the one going to be taking care of you. And if you're beating him with a stick now, imagine what he'll do later. Take it easy. Okay? Next, let's talk about schools. Which are the best schools? Do they have good schools here in Indiana? Good elementary schools for your children, middle schools. What's the best one they have? You know? You know where it is? West Lafayette Elementary? Very good. Well, guess what? When I was still a Christian, I didn't want my sons even going to public school. And I lived in a small town called Wichita Falls, Texas. But I did not want my children going there. And it was one of the best schools. But I still don't want them to go there. You know why? Because they teach that human beings came from monkeys. And I'm not putting up with that. As a Christian, I wouldn't put up with it. How about as a Muslim? You think I'm going to go for that? I put my children in the Lutheran school. And I paid money for it because guess what? I wasn't Lutheran and it's not free for the non-believers. Even though it's Christian, it wasn't the kind they are. I wouldn't put them in public school. I considered it bad. Then, when I had daughters, I was putting them, even at young age, I was putting them in the Christian Sunday school and so on, and they were very small, and that's when I came into Islam, alhamdulillah. Immediately, I switched them over to Muslim school. I never considered I'm going to put them in public school. Never. Even when something happened, their mother was gone, I had to get a new wife. I had two little girls. You can't imagine the pressure that you're under trying to own a business and have two little girls and no wife. Alhamdulillah, I had a great father who helped me through all of that. May Allah reward him for that. I mean, but you know something. Still, and my father backed me up 100%. And I said, I don't want to put him in public school. He said, then don't. Teach him at home. Get some books. Any kind of books. And start to teach them the best you can. But then Allah blessed me and gave me a wonderful lady who couldn't have children herself and needed to save her children. And my children tell me today, that's my mom. That's my mom. Never mind. That's my mom, because she raised me up and she taught me. My wife taught these two girls and took the oldest of the two all the way through high school by the time she was 16 years old. My daughter's 16, not my wife. Imagine completing high school with straight A's at home. Never walked in the school except when we did school programs. Never, ever, ever sat in a class. And now she's going to the Arabic Science University, called the Mahid, from Saudi Arabia. And she's attending that, and my wife's taking her over there, which is in Virginia, close to where we live. The other one she's still working on. She's slowing here. We've got to make you offer her, get her through it. But she's doing good. And now my son is helping her. But it's all at home, at home, at home. And we always say, go do your homework. Homework, it's all homework. Everything's just homework because you do it all at home. But they're doing it. You might say, well, then they're not getting a fair thing yet. Some people will tell you, oh, they're not getting out in public, so they need to get out in the... So we have social workers who used to come, by the way, to check out my father. Every month somebody has to come out and see how he's doing and what's going on. Because it's a law, I guess, in Virginia, that when somebody is, has a disease like he has, and if they get any kind of help from the state, then they have to come check it out. So these people, of course, they were interviewing us for more than just that, because we're Muslims, they got to be sure, you know, maybe they're doing weird stuff, you know. And they would always be so impressed with my daughters. And these are women, you know, coming in there going, huh, yeah, well, and at first, you know, they had to look like, oh, you don't let them go to school, they're going to be weird, you know, and you dress funny, wow. But then they come to know us over the years, and they really were admiring Islam and admiring the way they look at these children, how they behave, and look at these parents, it's not like anything we saw before. Remember, you can ask my wife questions, how can we do so and so, how do we respect and such, look at this. So I'm telling you this, you might think, oh no, this is too hard, but it's worth it. It's so worth it, because when your children grow up and get married, and these girls are virgins and your sons are virgins, they've never done anything wrong like this. But you know what I'm talking about. They never had alcohol, never tried drugs, never got involved in these stupid things. And they know, they're old enough to understand that that's really horrible. That's stupid. You don't have to worry about it. Because when I grew up, I heard people say things like, well, you can't stop them, so you might as well let them do it. They're going to do it anyway. Let them do it at home. I'll buy my kid his first cigarette so that at least, you know, I'll see him smoke. Have you ever heard things like that? That's what these people say over here. I remember one close to our family who said, I bought my kid his first beer today. Why is that? And he's proud of it. He was introduced him to a horrible habit. Well, he's going to do it sometime. I might as well be the one. What? That's amazing. One man, and I'll never forget, this sick, was telling me that he fixed his son up with a prostitute. Yes? In Texas. I heard that. And I couldn't believe it. I just stared at this man. And he considered he did something good. Do you see how far away from reality these people come when they start making up their religion on their own? Their way of life, their means? And so I'm saying that in Islam, we have something beautiful. Let's come give it up. Let's work for it. And if you say, well, I just can't educate my children at home, that's too hard. Well, then you're going to have to be very careful to work with your children in these schools wherever you put them. And you're going to have to be responsible every day to try to put in some volunteer time, either work in the library, the kitchen, or some way to be a part of that school where your child is. That's so that your children will know that you are concerned, and the other people will know that, hey, Muslims are concerned about their children, and they're not going to put your kid off in a corner somewhere. Because, hey, the parent's right there. You can't get away with that. And if you said, oh, my children would be embarrassed, I really don't care. I really don't care.
If your children are embarrassed about you, you better start all over again. You got a bigger problem than you thought. My children are never embarrassed about the fact that I'm their father. My daughters are proud of that. They're happy. If they go anywhere, they even people ask them about who's your father, they're proud to say, that's my dad over there. I don't care, you know, I look funny, I dress funny, I'm a Muslim. They don't care. They think it's great. They should be proud of it. Now another point in raising our children is that when they get old enough to get married, you need to think about that, because that's the advice of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you do not have the right to force them to go out and get education before they get married. And if you want to argue with me, I'm happy to do it. And don't forget what we started with. If you argue, let's turn it over to Allah and His Messenger and see what it says in the book. Let's laugh. Is there anything anywhere in Islam that says children have to get degrees before they get married? Want to fight? Obviously. Because I've watched this, and I get so many emails, and you don't know this, they'll say, I can't tell my parents. I want to tell them, but I can't disappoint them. But it's killing me. It's killing me. I can't stand it. But I have to go to college for 4 more years. I want to get married. The girl that I really love, she's going to get married to somebody else. It's my cousin. I know her, blah, blah, blah. What should I do? And another one said, one is having an affair with somebody because they just can't wait. And another one is saying, if I don't do something, he's going to get married to somebody else. And then some of them become even homosexual because they got nothing else. You don't know the emails. They get hundreds of these daily, and about once or twice a week I get something just like what I just told you. These are real people. These are your children. And you don't know. And I'm going to tell you who said that. You might even meet them from right here in this community. You don't know that. I'm going to let you guess, huh? Because I want you to think about this. These children have rights. And in some countries they're saying if the boy doesn't have enough money, he can't get married. You don't have $30,000, forget it. What can he do? Or hey, he's not from our tribe. Or hey, he's not from our nation. He's not Pakistani, so you know, we're not going to consider him for our daughter. Or he's not an Egyptian, or he's not a Saudi, or he's not a so-and-so. I thought the requirement was to be a Muslim. I thought the requirement was to be a good, God-fearing Muslim. Isn't that true? You don't say it with your lips and you don't mean it with your heart. And don't look at your tribe as better than somebody else. It's wrong. Let's get these kids married. Trust me. I know that's what it said in Islam. There's no doubt in my mind. Once you do it, you please the law, it's going to fix everything up for you. You can't do it. No, but they have to have this big education and get the big money. Who said so? I thought Allah was always up. Is that true or false? I thought Allah was going to take care of how much they're going to make. Isn't it true? You don't want to hear that. Well, guess what? There's a lot of things going on. I'm going to tell you anyway. The next thing is that you have to be responsible to help them get a good mate, a good person that you know will be good with them and good with your family. And a person that matches them. Don't try to get somebody who's just so over-religious, right? And your daughter's not that religious. I mean, she worships God, she prays everything, but she likes to have fun, chase around, go in the park, do things like that. Try to find somebody who will have fun with her. Don't try to just, this brother over here, he makes a lot of money, he's got a good degree. Don't do that to her. Try to match them up and think what they would be like together. And then, when you arrange the meeting for them, sit there, and listen, and they can ask questions to each other, and let them begin to know each other, and then let them make it istikhara, and meet, you know, to get to spend the final meeting, to be sure everything okay, and then, alhamdulillah, you're going to start having grandchildren before you know. So this is some of the things, and I mentioned things that are not normally mentioned by the Shia, the scholars of Islam, because I know you can get much better information from them, because I've read their books, and I know you know it maybe better than me. I'm talking about the issues that most people don't bring up. I covered the things which I know have been very personal to me, and the things which I hope, inshallah, will help all of us and our children. And for more on this, send me an email and tell me your questions, and we'll post the questions and answers without your names, of course, on our newest website. I'm going to announce it. Are you ready? Didn't tell you about this one. Our newest website, if you haven't been there, try this one out. Always Islam. But if you forget and you thought, did you say Islam always? That's also ours, too. I got a book just so you can go either way. Islam always. Why? Well, we had Islam today, Islam tomorrow, Islam yesterday. Makes sense. Islam always. It's a brand new website. It's not officially open, but it has some test questions on it. You can go check it out, see how you like it. Let us have some feedback and tell us the kind of questions you want to see there. And this is an announcement I'm making online as well. Everybody's hearing about this. I'm going to type it in right now just so that people can see it. www.islamalwaysradio.com. Alhamdulillah. Oh, somebody else wants to see it already, and they liked it. MashaAllah. Good. So, this is an idea that we have for these kinds of questions and an ongoing thing where we can develop a place where you can go and put your comments and other people can make comments to you and back and forth, and we hope inshallah this will help all of us and help our children. We ask Allah for His mercy, and we ask Him for the guidance, and we ask Him to protect these Muslim children and their families and the families after that, because it's through them that will come the next generation of Islam. They will be the future of Islam. Teachofislam.com. Yeah. Anyway, that's another program. You can hear me Islam tomorrow on the internet at islamtomorrow.com. ISLAMTOMOWR. Is that right? TOMOWROW. It's not two U's at the end of the business. .com. And until next time, if you use the best, just say, Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.